Hey guys, Trevor here with the E-Commerce Paradise Podcast. Today's episode is going to be all about how to handle buyer's remorse for high-ticket dropshipping stores. So high-ticket dropshipping is an interesting business model because you are usually shipping products that are quite big and bulky and heavy and expensive. So of course, with that comes higher shipping costs and more, you know, difficult installation or assembly, and maybe sometimes the products are confusing to use, that kind of stuff. So, and also the thing about it is that people don't really get to test them out before they buy them, right? They buy them on your site based on pictures or videos and product descriptions. And a lot of times those are, you know, emotional based decisions. So sometimes when a customer gets a product, and this is, you know, usually it's pretty rare, maybe like 5% of the time or less, but there will be some buyer's remorse issues that happen sometimes. And it's an unfortunate thing. It really is. And I've had this online too, where I bought something that just isn't what I'd expected. And for one reason or another, I wanted to return it. So I want to talk about, number one, how you can avoid buyer's remorse from ever happening on your store, even though that's kind of impossible completely, but at least to like avoid it from happening more. And number two, how to handle it when it happens. Because, you know, really, it just having like a good procedure in place, having a good process to go through that you just, you know, go through it can help calm down emotions. Because the number one thing you definitely don't want to do is get into an argument with your customer. That is something you should definitely try to avoid at all costs. Because even if it's like a shipping damage issue or a defect issue, if it turns into an argument with your customer for some reason, then they will have buyer's remorse immediately. And it's just because now they don't like you as a person. They don't want to do business with you, and they want to try to screw you over. So they want you to pay for the shipping back and stuff like that. So first of all, I'll talk about how to avoid buyer's remorse. Number one, have accurate product descriptions. You know, have really good product pictures, have product sales videos, have everything on your website that can accurately portray that product and make it really easy to make the correct buying decision. Another thing too is having shopping guides on your website is really helpful to customers. Maybe, you know, maybe they think they want a product, but then you have a shopping guide and they can actually figure out, you know, other products that meet their needs better or have other features better and stuff like that, right? And then another thing is having your phone number on your website so you can actually take calls from customers that are interested in buying your product and then going through that process with them. And when you take a call, don't just be like, oh, you want to buy, you want to buy. You know, don't go straight for the clothes. Usually you should actually ask the question about what their needs are and what they're looking for a product and why they're looking for that product. You know, like what is exactly that their needs are and how is that product going to solve their problem? Because if you can establish the foundational need first, before you actually try to sell them on a product, then you'll be able to sell them the correct product to solve their problems, right? So that's important. So if you can do all the work you can there, and then make sure you set up like a Q&A feature on your website, make sure you have reviews and stuff like that so people, so they can see other people's actual reviews of that. Q&A features is cool because someone's going to probably have a question that isn't covered in your description. They can enter that question on the website and then they can get their question answered. You can answer it. Take those Q&As, the same Q&As, and work them into your product description every chance you get. Same thing with phone calls. You take a phone call, write down, take notes on what you're talking about, and then add that into your product description. If it's a Q&A like that gets answered all the time, a FAQ, you can even make a blog post out of that for greater SEO effect and create a YouTube channel and make videos and stuff like that. So all sorts of good stuff you can do there. But you can avoid a lot of buyer's remorse issues just by consistently working on your website. But I want to get into then how you handle buyer's remorse. The thing about buyer's remorse is that it's usually because the customer has made a decision and it's either something to do with the product or it's something to do with your company. So it's one of those two things. Now, if it's something to do with the product, it's either maybe like a damage issue or a defect. We've had a lot of problems where like a customer will receive it. It's either damaged or defective upon arrival or upon their first usage. And for one reason or another, they just decide that they no longer want a replacement. They don't want that. They don't want another even another product. They just want a refund. So underlying causes, you know, can be anything from maybe they didn't want to spend that much money on a product, so they just, you know, had it like a change of heart where like, oh, you know, I really didn't want to spend that $3,000. I'd rather go for like a $500 version of it or something like that. Like that happens sometimes. Or you can have something where they just, you know, they're just spooked now because something arrived defective. They just don't want to deal with your company anymore. They don't want to deal with that brand. You know, they want to go to like a local store and get a similar product because they're just spooked. You know, they don't want to deal with it. Big and bulky products are a pain to deliver. Like, it's, you know, for instance, like if it's something like a home furnishing or a home fixture, like furniture, you have to get it dropped off curbside unless you buy white glove delivery, right, as a customer. And then it has to be moved into your house. So it's a big product, right? Whatever that big product is, and has to be installed and set up properly. If it's obviously the packaging isn't damaged upon arrival, you don't know if it's defective or not inside or damaged inside. So it can get all the way into the house, all the way into the installation, the assembly or whatever. And then all of a sudden something's wrong with it and doesn't work, you know? And then as a consumer, like that's just crazy, right? Like it's like, oh geez, I just went through all this work. Now I have to like repackage it up. And then on top of that, pay to ship it back. Like just, oh man, infuriating, right? Like you just want everything to go perfectly. You want the product quality to be just right. You want the delivery to be just right. You want it to be easy, you know, pain-free. And truly, like I would say 80, 90% of our transactions are pain-free and go through. But there's that like 5, 10% where like sometimes like there's just things that happen, you know? Shipping damage or product defects are the most common. And so sometimes you have buyer's remorse. Now, the key thing here is how you handle that. And to go over that though, I want to pass it over to my wife, Juliana, because she handles our customer support and she does this every single day. So I'm going to give the podcast over to her right now. You guys can listen to her explain her entire process of going through how she handles issues like this and how she tries to avoid buyer's remorse. And when there is buyer's remorse, how she handles that and just gets through it. So I'm going to pass it off.
Hey guys, Juliana here. Yeah, so buyer's remorse is never a fun situation for anybody. Not for you, not for the customer, and not for your supplier. You are the middleman, so you have to go in between the customer and you have to go in between the supplier. You're the go-between, so it can be really difficult sometimes because you're relaying the information and sometimes there's miscommunications between the customer and what they're saying and what you're trying to relate to the supplier through emails, and you have to get on the phone. And so it's a process, and the best way that I've learned how to deal with it to not have buyer's remorse for the customer is I found that when a customer has a question, I immediately put that directly into the product page, so that if it has a feature that they're asking about, I immediately put it in the product page. We've had about 3 or 4 2 successful websites and that we've sold, and now in our new ones, I always make sure that I'm updating the product pages. So that's mostly what I do all the time, because your website is your store, your website is your salesperson, so that has to be the most accurate it can possibly be. So always updating it, like Trevor was saying, is very important. Another thing, sometimes if a customer has a complaint about an item, maybe not a complaint, but just something that they think about the product that should be different, or maybe, you know, it just doesn't work for them personally because of a certain feature, I'll actually put that into the product listing on the bottom and say, like, please be aware that certain customers have said this about the product, so that they are aware of that before they even get it, so that they take it all into consideration before they even make the purchase. And sometimes you think, maybe that's not something I want to put in there, but it's really good, and it helps reduce buyer's remorse, because sometimes that won't bother somebody else. It won't matter, because it's something that is insignificant in their eyes. But to some people, certain things are very important. Like if you're selling furniture, and if the color isn't just exactly what they want or what they saw, they're going to call you and say the color is not like it was on the website. And, you know, you have obviously return policy rules that say, you know, we're not going to issue you a full refund and pay for your shipping back because of the color variance, because colors can vary when they're coming from the factory sometimes, you know, or small upgrades that they do because they don't have a certain part in stock, so they put another part in. So you just have to be really clear with customers on the product pages, because that is basically your be all end all. And I found that on our websites, the best thing for the customer is to put the warranty right there on the product page so that they can print it out, look at it, see if they like it. The owner's manual right there on the product page, put any other additional information that they might need, and even put a link to the return policy for that particular supplier and that particular supplier's warranty. So those are really important things to have, because some suppliers, maybe they don't have a return policy. And I put that right there on the product page so that the customer knows when they purchase it, I'm sorry, but if you decide that you don't want this product anymore, you're not going to be able to return it. And it just is what it is. And they have to accept that or not. And they will accept it if they find that it's a good deal. Some of the ones that we don't take returns on, those are our best sellers. So, so when it happens, you're going to get it happening. Sometimes it's masked. They don't come right out and say that, I have buyer's remorse and I want to return the product. They don't come out and say that. They find something wrong with the product, and you're not there in person to know what's going on. And yes, you want to believe your customer and you want to help your customer because they're the ones that are providing, you know, your income. So sometimes you kind of put yourself at jeopardy and you say things that maybe, you know, you shouldn't say. So you have to be really clear, and you have to pull up your own return policy and your own warranty policy and be very crystal clear with them, and email them and get everything in writing. That was one of the things that I had listed here, was make sure that you get everything in writing. If you say something on the phone to them, make sure you send them your return policy. Make sure you send the warranty policy to them and be very clear and let them know what it is. And sometimes they'll say, oh, there's something defective with it. And obviously if it's broken in two, you know, that's obviously something wrong and we need to get, and you know, it picked up and ship out a new one. But if they say, oh, you know, it's some weird thing is wrong with it, and you know, it can't be fixed, or if they don't want to deal with the tech support, then they will, it starts to look a little bit fishier with customers. Our suppliers, we have really good suppliers, and they'll talk to them, and the technician, you know, a lot of the technicians have been dealing with it for many years, and you can smell the deceit through the customer. And I hate calling it deceit, but it is when you buy a product and then you pretend that there's something wrong with it, or you just come up with any excuse not to keep it, and you don't even want to get a replacement, or you don't want to get a, you know, replacement part sent out for it that is very easy fix. Or if it's something, you know, they freak out and say, oh my God, I need a new one, when it's a simple, easy fix. So you just have to be very calm when you're speaking to them and be very clear, and don't use any, you know, language that would make it seem like, you know, you're going to pay for the shipping back, or, you know, you're going to give them a full refund, because you have to pay the supplier. You know, you've got to pay for that shipping to and from the customer, and you've got to pay that restocking fee. And without photos from the customer asking for damage, you run the risk of getting a product back, and then that customer actually used that product and messed it up and just did tons of damage to it or didn't pack it properly. You know, I've had one customer in the past where they didn't pack it up properly. They said, oh, you know, this isn't right for me and I want to return it. And I said, okay, fine, we'll go ahead and send you a return label to ship it back, which I should have made her pay for the shipping back, but I didn't. Because I wanted to be nice. And my supplier got it back and said, we're not issuing a refund at all. And actually, this product is damaged and it needs this, 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 and this to be fixed and make it brand new again. And I was like, ah, that sucks. And the customer had already filed a claim with PayPal, and they were going to get their money back, and I was going to be out, you know, $1,000, you know. So, but luckily we got the product back, so that was good. So I had to go back and forth with PayPal dealing with all this stuff. So you just have to be really clear. And my policy now is that I do not pay for shipping back to the warehouse. And if the customer claims that it is a warranty defect, I say, okay, that's, if you say that it is defective and you should have no worries then, and you need to pay for the shipping, and when it gets back to our warehouse, if it's deemed defective, then you'll be issued a full refund of the product and the shipping fee. And that's how our suppliers deal with it. If it is actually defective, they will refund the full amount. So make sure you're dealing with good suppliers. That's another really good one to not have buyer's remorse, is to deal with good suppliers that ship their products and pack them really well so that they don't end up damaged when they get to your customer. But, you know, in the summertime, it's usually a little worse because it's high season for shipping companies and they have to deal with a lot of packages. You can imagine having to work during the summer as a FedEx person or a UPS person. It's probably a nightmare. It's hot and you're running around, and so things get damaged, and you just want to make sure that you stay calm during the whole process with the customer and let them know that you're willing, that you are going to help them. You know, and sometimes they'll try to, you know, put you in a corner and try to make you, try to pin you down and make you say that you're gonna do this for them and that for them, and they're so upset and they're gonna file this and they're gonna call their lawyer and all this other stuff. And it's like, okay, you know, you just repeat your return policy, you repeat your warranty policy to them and let them know this is the procedure, this is how it goes, and we're gonna figure this out for you. We're gonna get it all. I'm here to help you, and I understand your situation. I understand how you feel. I would feel the same way too. But this is the procedure. This is the process of the return. Yeah, like I said, get everything in writing. Get all the facts of the case that they are claiming. You want to get it all written down. As they're writing, you type it down and get everything, and let the supplier know what's going on as well. You want to keep a clear, open communication and let them know what, the customer is saying about the product. And, you know, sometimes customers will wait a really long time to open their product. Or they say, oh, I just tried it out the other day. And you don't have any idea what that customer was doing with that product. So you have to make them pay for the shipping back. It just is what it is. Like, you want to be nice to these customers, but in the end, you will, have to end up, because they didn't ship it, they didn't pack it properly.
I just want to interrupt really quick and say that, you know, no matter what, you just want to make sure you take care of the customer. Customer is your lifeblood of your business, and that is going to sustain you in the long run. Back to Juliana.
Just don't jump in there and promise things that you can't, come back from, because they will hold you to it, I guarantee you. Just put as much information as you can on the website. And if a customer has an issue, put that on the website, and that's how to avoid it. Don't take in the stress, and just know that over time you learn how deal with these situations better, and it changes from supplier, and every customer is different. But the only way you can streamline the process is to have those policies in place and have everything in writing and send that to the customer and let them know what the process is for the return. So hopefully, you guys don't get a lot of buyer's remorse. Hopefully you get none. That's kind of my goal, is to not get buyer's remorse with my customers and to let them know what's going on and be very clear about the product before they purchase, so that they don't turn around and say, this is not the right product for me, or they pretend that something is wrong with it. So thank you guys for listening, and hope you guys will subscribe here and go to our YouTube channel, E-Commerce Paradise, and check out the course, E-Commerce Paradise Academy, where Trevor teaches you about high-ticket dropshipping and basically shows you our own store that he builds, walks you through the whole process of picking a niche, going through setting up your ads. You know, this is stuff that nobody out there right now is doing. He is the only person that is actually showing you real world, a real website, that, you know, not some like fake products of that is just not a good niche. Small little tiny products, like, you know, I don't know, cup holders or something like that. We're doing high ticket drop shipping. So definitely go check that out. And thank you guys for listening. Take care. Bye.